Today on Tips from the Top Floor, Aubrey has a tip regarding digital asset management. Raphael wants to shoot flat architectural drawings, and we'll look at one of the cameras that were announced at Photokina. Can you guess which? This episode is brought to you by Nations Photo Lab. Need a gift that won't be re-gifted? Create a buzzbook, the new softcover photo book by Nations Photo Lab. Relive the memories you don't want to forget. Your child's first year, your wild bachelorette, or your trip to Spain. All you have to do is fill the pages with your favorite photos. It's that easy to make something truly memorable. Make every moment matter. Head to nationsphotolab.com/buzzbooks and use code TOPFLOOR for your free buzzbook. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 845 for October the 18th, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor.
Hey, hello and welcome. This is episode 845 of Tips from the Top Floor. When you're listening to this, yeah, I'm still in Morocco, so I'm pre-recording this on October the 4th. So if anything interesting happened in the photo landscape since then, I'm not aware of it in this episode. One thing that I haven't really talked about again because it's just over is Photokina here, the big photo show here in Germany. And, you know, I mean, I don't really get too excited about gear here on the show. I'm the broken record, right? It's 100% clear that it's not the camera, it's the photographer who's responsible for the photo. No one is really interested in what pots and pans a Michelin star chef makes his creations in, or nobody wants to know what tool Shakespeare wrote his sonnets with. It's not about the tool, it's about the product. And you get the point, right? But when I look back at Photokina, which, again, by the time of recording this episode is just over, one product stuck out to me. And that's what I want to talk about. One new camera that I found interesting, and it's not the mirrorless full frames by Nikon, not the Z6 and the Z7. It's not the Canon EOS R. It's the announcement of the Zeiss ZX-1. That really got me interested. And it's also mirrorless camera. I mean, that's where we're going. Full frame mirrorless is, yeah, we'll have lots of those pretty soon. Now, the Zeiss has a 37, well, it will have a 37 megapixel full frame sensor. It will feature a non-removable 35mm f2 lens. And while all of a sudden everyone seems super concerned about the number of card slots in their cameras, Zeiss just ditched them all together and instead they put an SSD in the camera. Not just any SSD. It's a whopping half a terabyte of storage. 512 gigabytes. And they say that that'll be enough for like 6,800 RAW files or over 50,000 JPEGs. And the camera features Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and USB-C. So I guess you'll get the photos off the camera quite easily, right? Should be fast with an SSD and USB-C. And in addition, they said that the USB-C port is multifunctional. So, I mean, this is a camera that can also shoot video. So you can not only use it for like getting photos of the camera, but with an adapter, that's what they claim, you can hook up a microphone and headphones. So it ties it nicely with the video production crowd, right? The camera does like 4K video at 30 frames a second or 1080p at 60 frames a second. So yeah, it's pretty normal these days, I'd say. And from the way you operate the camera, it features only two dials on the top and like one for ISO and one for the shutter speed. And the lens has an aperture ring, which is a very classic kind of setup. And the whole design is very classic, very, very simple, very reduced, almost Leica, you know. That's probably one of their targets for this camera is the Leica crowd. Now, the rest seems to be managed, like the rest of the interaction seems to be going through a large touchscreen. And the back is like a big touchscreen, which brings me to one detail that I haven't mentioned yet. The camera will have Lightroom Mobile built in. Let that sink in. So you can edit your photos directly on the camera. And if you have an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription, The camera will just sync your photos straight into your Lightroom catalog at home. I mean, it doesn't come with LTE. That's, at least I couldn't see this from the announcement, so you'd still have to have some Wi-Fi connection or something. But just imagine being out on a photo tour, shooting with this camera, editing on the camera, selecting on the camera, and then returning home and your photos are pretty much already there. I mean, no, I don't have a good idea how well this will all work, right? How well this will be integrated with the rest of the camera. It could as well turn out to have like really bad usability or a really bad battery life or any amount of other issues, okay? So again, this is just an announcement, but the general concept is very interesting. I think this is really interesting. And you know, I mean, we all know the point-and-shoot market is crumbling, right? The smartphones have taken that over. The manufacturers don't really sell many point-and-shoots anymore. And so what Zeiss does is pretty much they are the new point-and-shoot segment. Generally, the full-frame mirrorless cameras kind of try to attack or include that segment as well. And what Zeiss is doing here is they are attacking that segment, that market, the point-and-shoot market from the top end, I would say, with full frame, with lots of onboard storage, with fast connectivity, with wireless connectivity, with built-in Lightroom. This is all kind of unexpected, but really refreshing to see someone kind of to re-jiggering the whole segment. Now, we don't know its price just yet. I mean, that's probably the biggest point, right? This could as well be $4,000 or $5,000. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Zeiss is not cheap, and this is still just an announcement. So, yeah, let's see. Zeiss wants to begin shipping the ZX-1 early 2019, and that's also when they say they'll announce how many green ones it will set you back. I will definitely keep an eye on that one. Definitely interesting. All right, so let's get into the show. A couple of months ago, we had a few listener questions about finding duplicate photos. You might remember that, and about digital asset management solutions that like could be accessed from others. And while there was some good discussion, I received only one voicemail, and it's this one by Aubrey.
Hi, Chris. This is Aubrey here from Cyprus. I listened with interest to episode 832. While listening, I was thinking the DAM I use that is what answers both questions. From Keith, find duplicates, and from Rob, the image library question for the school. I use a product called iMatch. It's built by photools.com, and a compatriot of yours, Mario Westerfall, is the lead engineer. I've been using this product for over 10 years. It's fast and stable. Disadvantage is it only runs on a PC. It'll find duplicate files within the DAM. It will also find binary duplicates independently from the file name. And on top of this, find visually similar images. For example, images in copies which have been slightly cropped, rotated, etc. A recent addition is iMatch Anywhere. This allows one to access the database remotely from any device or operating system. And this is exactly what the school requires. Cost is not very significant. I don't want to discuss this on here. If anybody's interested, goes and looks at photools.com. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Aubrey. Yeah, I've had a quick look, and it does look interesting. It doesn't look like it wouldn't solve some of those problems. Again, it's called iMatch. I asked Aubrey if he works for them because it sounded almost like he was trying to sell this to us. No, Aubrey does not. He's not affiliated. He's just a great fan of the software. And the feature set looks decent. I mean, the biggest problem with it is it's only available on Windows. But it has this external like thing to get photos out of it called iMatch Anywhere, which works on different platforms. So yeah, it's another option to find duplicates and then make your photo library available to others. I want to say a quick thank you to HoneyBook. If you've ever started a creative business or you love anyone who has, you know it can be challenging and exhilarating all at once. One booking, one client, one referral, then another, that sweet sound of success. But what small business owner wants to spend their time on paperwork, endless emails, and dealing with payment collection? That's why there's HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a purpose-built business management platform for creative small businesses. They help photographers, designers, event professionals, and other solopreneurs save hundreds, if not thousands, of hours a year by adding time-saving automation into their business. HoneyBook makes it easy to streamline the client process so you never miss a thing. And that's why for a limited time, TFTTF listeners can get 50% off the first year of HoneyBook with promo code TOPFLOOR. HoneyBook membership includes unlimited access to all features at one low monthly price, so go to honeybook.com today and use promo code TOPFLOOR to get started. Again, that's honeybook.com, promo code TOPFLOOR.
Hi, Chris. It's Rafael Espinoza in Denver, Colorado. I was supposed to have met you in your Brooklyn tour in 2015. I was the guy that couldn't make it. Had a sudden career change, and that put an abrupt end to that plan. So sorry I wasn't able to meet you in person. Anyway, my question today is, I have a bunch of architectural renderings and flat work that I'd like to shoot. I have at my disposal two Nikon kit bodies. One is a D600 and the other one is a D7000 or D7100. I should figure that out. Anyway, we're talking about different sensor sizes and different megapixels by a considerable amount. And I'm wondering which body should be used for shooting this flat work. Assume that the full battery and complement of Nikon lenses is at my disposal. So the lens pairing would be helpful as well, whatever body you recommend, but you don't have to limit yourself on that front. Thanks, and happy shooting.
Thanks, Rafael. So yeah, you want to take pictures of something flat, plans, drawings, stuff like that, and you have access to two Nikon kit bodies, and in general, the camera doesn't really matter these days. I mean, I have digitized entire books with an iPhone, of all things. But, you know, it kind of depends on, of course, what you later want to do with it. If you just want to have it online, then you don't even need the resolution. But if that's a real factor, I would go for the D600 because it has the bigger resolution. It also has the bigger sensor, which will give you a bit more of a noise-free capture. But, yeah, again, we are shooting. We're going to shoot this in a way that the camera doesn't really matter that much. Now, the prime lens is what I would go for. A 50 millimeter prime lens on a full frame camera. Medium aperture, f8, is a good place to start. But it doesn't really matter which 50 millimeter. If you have like an f1.2, an f1.4, or f1.8, as long as you work stuff down as not wide open, but at f8, the image quality will be okay. You won't have any issues there. What's important is the setup. That's way more important than any of the other technical sides. The best camera won't take a good picture if you set it up in the wrong way. So you want the camera parallel to the flat thing that you want to shoot, like super parallel. And the best way, I think, is to put whatever you want to shoot on the floor and then have the camera face straight down from above. And, you know, if you don't have a special tripod for that or anything, this sounds a bit like a one-off. So, yeah, I would just do a makeshift setup. Get a ladder, put the camera on a tripod, tape that to the ladder. This is simple enough. No one will see the jerry-rigged setup there. Lighting is essential, and it's essential to A, minimize the reflections, and B, get the lighting as even as possible. So to minimize the reflections, yeah, you don't want any direct flash, of course. Whatever you have on the camera, turn it off because it would create a bright hot spot in the middle of what you're shooting. Also, during shooting, pull the curtains, kill the lights in the room. The reflections from ceiling lights can be really in the way in this kind of a setup. And to get the light as even as possible, yeah, I'd use 45 degrees from the left and the right. That's kind of a classical copy setup. Again, two light sources, one from the left, one from the right, 45 degrees, so they cannot reflect directly into what you're shooting. And there's a third thing. If color is important, if your color accuracy is important, you definitely want to use a gray card and do what's called custom white balance, so that that your light sources are kind of neutral. And yeah, check the camera manual custom white balance for your camera. And then in general, exposure is, of course, important. Get manual. This is a manual exposure situation. Get the ISO as low as possible, ISO 100 if you can. Again, I would suggest some medium aperture, f8 is a good place. And then change the shutter speed to match the exposure, to bring the exposure to where you need it to be. And use a remote release to keep the camera motion-free during exposure. I would probably use Wi-Fi today to expose that thing and just check the framing and everything on my smartphone. And then, of course, post-production. You have the photos. You took the photos. You import them into, let's say, Lightroom. You crop them to size. And then you might want to work on the contrasts. Don't overdo the contrast slider, because adding contrast later is easy, but removing it is difficult. So keep the lower contrast if you can, and add it if needed. And then I would export that as a TIFF file to keep the loss minimal, and that should get you started with taking pictures of those drawings. And that's it for the pre-recordings. I will be back next week, hopefully, if everything goes well. I'll be back with another fresh episode. But hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being subscribed. You guys are always awesome. Thanks again to Nations Photo Lab and Honeybook for supporting this episode. That really helps. And what also helps is if you guys go out and give the show a rating on iTunes, a little star rating, or even a review, or yeah, support it any other way, Patreon, word of mouth. Everything helps. You are amazing. More at tfttf.com/support. Thank you. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, Silent Partner, Hans Peter Kagrud. Publishing and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rester, Armstead. Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer, CIO Rusty Russ. And if you haven't been to the Slack yet, hey, it's a great place to hang out, to talk about virtually anything photography. And it is only for the TFTTF community, so it's not a public forum. That's why you need to get an invitation, and Rusty Russ will send you one. The link to get one is in the show notes. My name is Chris Marquardt. You'll find me on social media, including Mastodon, at Chris, MarquardT. Now go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other. And happy shooting.